Jesus said, all the hairs on your head are counted, and I guess it takes them a little bit less time for some of us compared to others, right? Yes. And I was just on a retreat in Grand Isle, a little charismatic retreat slash fishing trip, but God proposes and man disposes. We didn't get to do a whole lot of fishing because Tropical Storm Cindy blew up in the Gulf. And so we only got to fish on the Monday evening, but that was all right. We got the rest of the time for worship and praise and good fellowship coming out on LA Highway number one. I think number one stands for 1 foot below sea level, because about 10 times we had to go through some flooded areas. And luckily in my Honda Civic, we were able to make it through. And I don't think I've been able to say at a Sunday Mass yet for you what a great joy in our family was when I was away last month that my mother was baptized at 86 years old and brought into the church. I had taught my sister how to baptize her in case while I was gone that that should be necessary, and she was having some weak spells, so she said, get me baptized. And my sister baptized her right there in the doctor's office. And when I got back, I confirmed her, and my brother was in the priest for the priestly ordinations, and so he gave her first Holy Communion. So her three sacraments of initiation, 86 years old, it's never too late to come to Jesus. So that's a long time prayer in our family and lots of other people and yourselves as well. I know you've been praying for that as well. So thank you so much for that prayer. And so Jesus says not to be afraid. This past week, we had a saint who was not afraid, St. Thomas More. And I want to share with you a little bit about his life. Living in England in the 1400s and 1500s, married with four children, became a lawyer, and went to daily mass and a good, faithful man of the church. And the king befriended him, and Thomas's son-in-law was so very impressed. He said, "Ooh, look how close friends you are with the king." And Thomas More said to him, "It's nothing to be proud of, because if my head were to gain him a castle in France, it would not fail to go." He knew the nature of the king. And so later on, the king had defended the Catholic faith very strongly and was even given a special honor by the Pope for doing that, defender of the faith. But not too long after that, he grew tired of his wife, who didn't give him a son, Catherine of Aragon. And he had gotten special permission from the Pope to marry her, since she was his relative's wife. And so he said, "Well, I don't want her anymore, and I want somebody else." And so he said, "I want an annulment from the church." And the church looked into it and said, "Sorry, you are validly married to this woman, and we cannot do that." And so he said, "All right, well then I will make myself the head of the Catholic Church in England." And he said, "I'm going to force all the bishops and all of the politicians to sign this decree that I'm going to make." And most of the bishops, unfortunately, did that, except for St. John Fisher, the Bishop of Rochester. And most of the politicians signed it, except for St. Thomas More. And everybody tried to convince Thomas to sign the document. One of his friends, the Duke of Norfolk, said, Thomas, just sign it for the sake of fellowship." And Thomas said to him, "And when you go to heaven for following your conscience, and I go to hell for not following my conscience, will you come to hell just for fellowship?" No. His daughter and his wife tried to convince him, "Just sign it, Daddy, and just don't mean it in your heart." And he said, "But God looks into the heart, my daughter. And when I go before him, I will have nothing else except my heart to give him." And so he said, "This is a case in which a man may lose his head and yet have no harm, but rather incredible reward from God." And the king was not a good man. He divorced his first wife. He beheaded the second one. The third one died while married to him. The fourth one He divorced her. The fifth one, he beheaded her. And the sixth one, she survived, miraculously, probably. He's not a nice guy. And so Thomas stood up to him, knowing that it was going to cost him his life. He was in the Tower of London, the jail, for a year and a half or so. And so, finally, he broke his silence. He never said why he was against the decree. He knew that silence was his protection, but finally they just brought in trumped-up charges against him. So he did break his silence and said why, because he said that the king cannot be the church leader in England or anywhere else. That is the church's role. And so they condemned him to being beheaded. And before that, he said, I die the king's good servant, but God's first. I die the king's good servant. He served him up to the way that he could, to the maximum. But beyond that, he couldn't go against his God. And so even had a bit of humor going up the scaffold. He said, the guy helped him to go up. He said, you're helping me on the way up. I'll help myself on the way down. And he died. And actually, his is July the 6th. John Fisher was June 22, but they put them together. But July the 6th, the anniversary of his giving of his beautiful life for the truth. And so that's what Jesus said, was not to be afraid, right? We have a lot of things that can make us afraid today. Jeremiah the prophet said, terror on every side. They're all trying to kill me. And we can think of the terrorism that's going on in the world today with ISIS and things like that. Some of the attacks that we've heard about in other foreign countries and some smaller ones here in this country, right? And so that can make us afraid. But Jesus says, fear not, be not afraid. Especially don't be afraid of those that can kill your body, but they can't kill your soul, right? And during slavery times, that's what carried people through, knowing that, unfortunately, terribly, people could kill their bodies, but they couldn't take away their soul, couldn't take away their dignity, like that song that we have, right? And so people have been surviving and living with this in their hearts, just like Thomas More. But Jesus said, rather fear him who can take away your body and your soul. So he's talking about the devil, right? Fear him, fear sin. But not in a kind of servile fear, but in a trust of the Lord. Because in Romans 5, it said today, though one man sinned and death entered the world because of Adam, because of one man, Jesus Christ, grace has all overflowed and overtaken that sin. And now we can have eternal life. Even if we do have to die the physical death, we are open to having heavenly glory for all eternity. What an incredible exchange of gifts that we have been given, that Jesus would die on that cross for us sinners to give us life. And all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I accept it. I live it out in my life. It says in the Bible 365 times, somebody said, be not afraid. So that would be one time for every day of the year. So that means every day, be not afraid. Take courage in the Lord. Are you afraid of something right now? Is there something in your life that is causing you anxiety, causing you fear, whatever it may be, work, relationships, personal things, a lot of things that can come up, sickness that can cause us fear. But Jesus is calling us to trust in him, that he will see us through and he will give us that grace. Pope John Paul II, that was his first words in his homily, be not afraid to open up all the doors of everything to Jesus our Lord. That was a beautiful part of his ministry. And he and Reagan, you know, teamed up together and they were able to stop communism in Eastern Europe. And because they were not afraid to speak the truth. Tuesday, July the 4th, whenever it is, we are celebrating the 241st birthday of our country, and our founding fathers were not afraid to stand up to the tyranny of the King of England. Unfortunately, they were not courageous enough to stand up to slavery, right? That would take another 87 years, not until 1863 with President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation that freedom was given to every person in this country, and still was a struggle and still struggling today, and yet we've made a lot of progress. We have to admit the progress and thank the Lord for that and continue to work for fullness and freedom for everybody in every possible way. This past Friday was the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And if you just change two little letters, the second and third letter, it would be scared heart. So Jesus doesn't want us to have a scared heart, right? He wants us to have a sacred heart, a holy heart like his, because it represents his love for us, his mercy, and his power in our lives. And so what a beautiful image, the heart of Jesus, his human and his divine love for each and every one of us. We can live on that love, right? We can live on that kind of mercy. We can live on that kind of courage in the face of the trials and tribulations that may be before us, whatever they may be. God is with us. So why despair? Why lose hope? Because he will see us through to heavenly glory. Amen.